30, 20, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ignition sequence start. This is just the beginning.
Are you ready?
Here comes the best part.
1, 2, 3.
Go. Life Matters, a 5-time winner of the best morning show in Wisconsin. Hosted by Nancy Douglas and Tom Giovannone.
All of you, get ready.
Life Matters begins on Lake 96.1.
Welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Beautiful day today.
Are you sore?
No.
Not
really.
I'm so sore.
Well, you definitely got more hours than I do.
I have been living on ibuprofen. And that's about it.
Red Bull and tater chips.
I can't do the caffeine. I do my coffee in the morning. And then once in a while, I'll have like a cherry Coke or something in the afternoon. But I can't do the caffeine because you'll just have to peel me off the walls worse than you already do. So, yeah, you don't.
I thought we have to peel you off the floor.
Well, no, that's bourbon.
No, I mean because you're working on floors.
Oh.
But okay, it's good to know.
Both.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so we're pulling up carpet off of the original hardwood floors now. Yeah, they glued the carpet down. Intelligent.
Yeah.
People just don't know better and they think, oh, well, it's not going to be a big deal, but it is.
Yeah, I don't think they think to the future because so many old homes have hardwood floors that are just gorgeous. And I get it. You want to cover it up, make it a little bit more user-friendly, whatever. But people like us want those hardwood floors.
I want hardwood floors and great big rugs to protect them.
Right.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
But you should be able to see the floor.
Absolutely, around the edges.
They're gorgeous.
That's what you're going to see.
Yeah.
But I'm going to protect my work with beautiful rugs. And the other problem with this house is that every time I say something, Ty says, well, that's not period. That's not, they didn't do that in the 1800s. And I'm like, you realize that they didn't have really like stoves or electricity.
Or air conditioners.
Or air conditioner. So how, close to the period of time do you really want this house?
Right.
And then he walks away. So
it's got enough character that it's, you'll see the period.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I got a new tool. I got a heat gun, which I'm calling a flamethrower. I was calling it a fire gun, but I've decided flamethrower is far more dramatic, and that's what I would like for it to be, and more appropriate. And it's working very, very well.
I have a flamethrower that I could bring over. You'd have to scrape real fast, though.
Well, I have one of those. I have a propane heater. But if I hung it from the ceiling, it would heat up the floor.
No, this is
the entire
torch.
Floor all at once.
Oh, this is a torch.
Yeah. No.
It's for burning stuff.
You do not want me to have that.
I think it'd be kind of funny.
Mm-mm.
I won't be inside with you.
I bet Renee Wilging, my insurance agent, wouldn't think me having a blowtorch inside my
Renee
house would be funny.
Doesn't know usually doesn't hurt us.
Oh, she'll know because when I have to call her and say, hey, I just burnt my house down.
But the glue's gone.
Mm. That's true.
I mean, it probably would not do that.
All the glue's gone. No, it's fun. And we're finding some fun stuff and some interesting things and different characteristics that, but we're starting to be able to see now that, some stuff is gone and we can see what we know is going to happen in the future, like with cabinets and some woodwork and, paint and the kitchen being torn up and all that kind of stuff. It's much easier to see within the last couple of days what we will do or what we can do. Because that's the other issue is you got to be careful, with what you can do. Like you don't want to start pulling down walls if
it's a process.
You're supposed to.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, but it's cool.
Chip away.
It's cool. I have to tell you that I have a good friend that's a sheriff's deputy. And I saw him the other day and I said, hey, I said, guess what? We bought a house in Elkhorn. And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, yeah, the hoarder house.
And he said, which one?
No. And he said, oh, yeah. And knew where it was.
Mm-hmm.
The woman that lived in this house before us, lovely woman, older and everything, but she collected things. like a lot of things. Somebody told me that when they started emptying out her house, that it took 18 dumpsters.
Wow. Well, it was a big house.
To get stuff out of this house. Now, I'm sure that there were some rooms that there were carpet and they pulled that up and, you know, trying to make it, just trying to sell the thing.
Right.
Right. But, yeah. And so, but everybody knows it. When I went to have the electricity turned on in my name, the girl looked at the address and she's like, oh my God, same thing. You bought the hoarder house.
Yep.
So I love it because there are so many little different, you can just tell so much about this lady's personality by some of the different things that were still there and that she didn't do and that she did do and everything. And it just kind of goes towards the history
of
it.
A lot of character there.
But yeah, even stripped down, there's so much character. And right. So, yeah. But
one of my favorite things is the shutters on the basement window.
Listen,
they're
this
cool.
Woman found everything 50 cents or below and bought it and brought it to this house and installed it.
Right.
Like there is an indoor chandelier, like the kind of light that goes over a pool table,
mm-hmm.
you know, like stained glass and stuff, on the front porch.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's
there are
it's
chandeliers
cool.
in every single room.
She likes chandeliers.
I mean, it's just now some of them I have to get rid of because you're never going to clean them up. But there's a couple of them I'm going to refurbish.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting.
Yep.
It's just so
it's
interesting.
Got a lot of style.
And it really does. You know, just like all those old houses with the different little things that they used to do. And it's fun. It's fun. But it's going to be a while. It's a 5-year project.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it's a labor of love.
It is. It is. It is. We've only had it for a week. I think we've come very far.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that kitchen later.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I don't know.
Oh, and the fun? Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Demo day.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was. It was.
We'll talk about it at the end
I'm
of the
sure
show.
At some point, we got to get to work.
Yeah, we do. We do. Yes, because we have Tom Gardner.
Oh,
today.
That's right.
That's right.
I forgot about that. That's
cool. Right. Tom Gardner enjoyed a lot of success coming in on this show once a month. And so the reason why we haven't had him here is because he's actually on Mike Mason's show in the afternoon during the week, like all week long. And so
lucky Mike.
When something goes right, you just do more
absolutely.
Of it, right? So that's what we did. We switched him. And so we're having him back for a recap and just to see what's going on, what he thinks about.
I miss him. It's always a good interview.
Absolutely. And I also want to ask him about some of the changes, like as a lawyer in a huge law firm, some of the changes with the administration and stuff. Does he see cases because of that? Or we're going to ask him a lot of questions because he'll answer anything.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. He's
he
kind of
knows
for
a lot.
Us, and he knows a lot. Yeah. So Tom Gardner's coming up next. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to Life Matters. Oh, the band's back together. We have Tom Squared in the house. Tom Gardner joins us this morning. How are you, sir?
Good.
So good to have you back. I know you, you've got your Real Life Law on Mike Mason's show in the afternoon, and I enjoy that immensely, by the way, because you know me, I love the law and not breaking it. I don't love that. I try not to do that. But we wanted to have you back for a little reunion update kind of thing. I understand you're moving offices. You said everybody.
Yeah, we moved on Friday.
Yeah.
So we're still in the same building. We just took a suite across the hallway.
And that's in Chicago.
No, in Lake Geneva.
Oh, here?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah,
we
had moved in Chicago a year ago.
Oh, okay.
And we moved to be on Wacker Drive overlooking the river, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And
who doesn't want to be on Wacker Drive in Chicago?
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's just the name of the road makes
I know.
It cool.
It's internationally
Who's
famous.
Brothers reference.
Right, I know.
Wacker.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So this space, we moved across the hall in the same building of 500 Commercial Court, and we picked up a bunch of offices that way, so it helps with our expansion.
I was going to say, you're growing like crazy.
Yes.
Are you allowed to actually declare like a specialty, or when you're an attorney, like can you just really focus on one thing? Or I thought it wasn't doctors. You're not really allowed to say I'm only going to do this type of work.
Well, actually, in law is the profession you're
it's the one
of.
Okay, so yeah, see, so, I'm not crazy.
Yeah,
you wow. can't well. Just because you're right.
You can't say that you're an expert in any given
okay.
area. You can
okay.
say you practice in that area. That happens all the time, just like doctors.
Exactly.
Plenty of lawyers just do real estate or
right.
just do litigation or just
right.
do criminal law or divorce or whatever.
But you guys
we
do it
all. Pretty much all.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're expanding, lots of new people jumping on board?
Well, we've had a lot of clients come in and get referred from other lawyers and other people in the area. And as a result, we need more lawyers and we need more space.
That's right.
So we're hiring actually one or two lawyers in Lake Geneva, one in Chicago, and then another one in Naperville.
Awesome.
So
it's a good problem to have.
It's a good problem.
Ah, yeah. It's a very good problem to have. That's awesome. So what else is new? At about this time of the year, what kind of case do you see an uptick in a certain kind of case or probably taxes?
There's a few tax cases we have, but they're kind of Department of Revenue type issues where people are trying to deal with past problems.
Right.
We're seeing some transactional matters now, sales of businesses or substantial leases, things like that. We're having a number of things going on in that regard and lots of litigation.
Yeah.
Get slow in the
winter. People need their lawyers. Like,
you know what happens, Tom, is that I think the end of the year occurs. There's a rush before the end of the year to get things done. And then at the start of the year, the companies and individuals kind of have reassessed and they say, well, we're going to do X. We're going to grow in this way. We're going to contract. We're going to, these employees, we're going to change. We're going to bring in new people. We're going to pursue this claim we didn't pursue. We've budgeted for it. Now it's a new year. It's new activity. So that's what I would say in general. I think it's just human nature, right? At the end of the year, people think, well, how was that last year and what am I going to do next?
You got that little breather, that slow time to reflect and then go nuts.
Right.
Yeah. So you got to get really busy in the next few weeks.
I think so.
What about exciting cases? Is there anything unusual going on? That's what people always want to know. Like, what about the intricate stuff?
There's all sorts of exciting things going on. I'm not sure that there's anything that's would be totally out of the ordinary. There's some criminal cases we have, but I really don't want to go into those right now.
Right.
And those are kind of exciting cases and serious cases, et cetera, that we have along with the regular ones. But lots of civil litigation. We have one case that this is just interesting from the standpoint of how long this case has taken. We have a case that's been pending for 12 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yes. It's the case has gone up to the appellate court. They petitioned the Supreme Court, came back down to the trial court. One of the defendants settled. Another defendant still remains. We tried to settle that case a week or so ago. Didn't settle. So this case has been going on for 12 years. So one of the lawyers who is on this case, when she started working on the case, one of my partners, she wasn't married, had no kids, et cetera. Now she's married. She has kids in school.
Yeah, it's the lawsuit that will never go away.
I've had this case longer than I've had those kids.
Yeah.
That's true.
I had one like that for a while. I had a law, back then it was the second longest case in Walworth County. Is this a case where, could it be settled or is it that complicated that it's just, or are people just stubborn?
Well, it's a complicated case. And has been. There's lots of issues in it. It deals with real estate development. And some of those cases where you have real estate issues, and not this case so much, but there's lots of subcontractors involved and general contractors. And when you have those types of issues and kind of litigation involving real estate takes longer.
Right, right.
So,
yeah.
Especially when you add everybody else because they got their own issues.
Real true.
You know, you got the landscapers with their issues and the bricklayers and carpenters and electricians and plumbers and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and then you kind of put all that together and put the puzzle pieces in and, So obviously they're still missing puzzle pieces or 12 years wouldn't have gone by. That's terrible, that poor woman. She probably wakes up in the morning and is like, here it is again.
In that case, it's not a woman. We represent a municipality in that case. In the 12-year case?
Uh-huh.
The woman you're talking about is my
lawyer.
Partner.
Yeah,
I understand now, yes. she, She's been waking up and mouthing that
case for a
long time.
As long as she's not naming her kids after defendants. That's
right. Yeah.
Don't do that.
That would be weird. We're talking with Tom Gardner this morning with Gardner Coke Weinsberg and Rona. I wanted to ask you about the library. So when you first started coming onto Life Matters, the there was that case about the library, the Obama, wasn't it the Obama Library
whatever? Right, yeah.
And they wanted to put it here, and then they broke ground in spite of the fact that there was still the lawsuit pending and all of this to not put it where it was supposed to go. Whatever happened with that?
Well, that case, basically, the construction's proceeding.
Of course it is.
So in that case, there's still an appeal pending, but it's gone from the Seventh Circuit, the federal appellate court, back down to the district court, back up to the appellate court. It's been a case like that. But, you know, the issue was, where should the presidential library be situated? And it was Washington Park versus Jackson Park.
Right.
And our position was it should be Washington Park because it wouldn't disturb nature and it
exactly.
wouldn't, you know. So anyway, it's going, the way it stands right now, it's going up in Jackson Park by the Museum of Science and Industry.
Chicago.
We don't care. We're building it anyways.
That's right. Like, how did the, like, I guess there wasn't a stay involved or anything. They wouldn't have been able to break ground. So now.
Probably would have done that anyways.
What's the point then in continuing the lawsuit?
If it's well, there are issues. You know, that project is a big project. It takes a long time.
Sure.
So the lawsuit, there are legal issues involved that go beyond the construction and financing, et cetera. Those are other issues. So there's a bunch of issues that actually are important beyond this case
in
terms of what the authority that the city council has, what can be delegated, a bunch of issues like that.
Sure, sure. That makes sense. It's all packaged together. So, yeah, interesting. How do you feel about the election, post-election? Is that affecting you guys in any way?
We have gotten calls relating to immigration in particular.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the question, one of the questions has been, well, there's undocumented people in our family. What do we do about this? What do we do with children? What is really going to happen here? What's your prediction? How do we handle assets? How do we handle our house?
Mm-hmm.
All those sorts of issues have certainly come to the forefront for some people. And that's going to be a really interesting area from a lawyer's perspective on how this goes down. You know, the most interesting area and the area that I think is least likely to go through is the birthright issue.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually didn't realize this. The United States is unusual in giving birthright citizenship. I always assumed that this was just common for a lot of countries, but it's not. But it's a longstanding constitutional right. So that change, as opposed to other changes, is going to be a very difficult one to occur.
Yeah, but on the birthright, the parents have to be in the country legally. If they're here illegally, there is no birthright.
Well, I guess that's right. I'm not sure. I haven't really looked at that issue. So I see your point. If they're not here properly to begin
with. Yeah, if mom and dad came over illegally and had a child, there's no birthright for that child. If they're here on visas or came here legally, then yeah, the birthright falls into place, which I really don't have an issue with
that. But see, I don't. Is that the case, though? Or, I mean, you can give the kid the birthright, but you don't have to give the parents the citizenship. That's my opinion. I mean, and maybe that's just my opinion. I mean, okay, I get it. You were born in the country. Okay, you were born in the United States. But your mom and dad, you got to go with your mom and dad, and they're citizens over here.
Right. If mom and dad are here illegally, the child goes with them back to their country of
origin.
Period. That's the law. That's the way it's supposed to be.
I just feel like if you haven't committed a crime, if you are participating in society, in the United States culture, if you're, you know, employed and paying taxes and you know, but you have not gone through the process I believe that we should create a better process somehow for the people who should legitimately be here because they are running from something or whatever. I know the look on your face.
Well, I'm just thinking if I rob a bank and I don't get caught and I use the money only for good, then I shouldn't be convicted of bank robbery?
That's not what I mean.
But it's kind of the same thing.
True. But I think that where you're talking about with people, oh my gosh, are they going to put me on a bus tomorrow? What happens to my house? What happens to my assets and all of that? I would think that you are talking to people who, in fact, are not going to be put on that bus immediately because they haven't committed the crimes. I mean, he's going right through and trying to get out the gang members and all of these things.
This thing is going to start in the jails. It's going to start at the police departments. And it's going to be with a criminal element that we know to be illegal.
Right.
But this would be a really good time for them to go apply for citizenship.
Exactly. I also think that our citizenship process is ridiculously long.
Yeah, I mean, I think it needs to be revamped.
Taking 10 years or something to get this done. I mean, that's just not. Vet them, confirm them, and let them continue to participate. So I would have to assume that the people that you're talking to are not somebody who has committed murder and is about to be picked up by ICE.
No, they're people that have houses and assets and families. And, and so then the question is, should we set up trusts for them so that somebody else controls the asset if they were to be deported, et cetera? When is this going to happen? How much delay is there going to be? Mm-hmm. You know, people, it's easy to say, put your assets in a trust and have somebody else handle it.
Right.
Until you're the person that's transferring your assets away.
Right. And then it's gone when you come back.
Right. Well,
not necessarily, but, you know, people like to have their own assets.
Right.
Right.
So, oh, I don't want anybody controlling my stuff.
No.
Right.
Who does?
And I totally get that. But then you go back to, honestly, the people that have been here for a very, very long time, and you have a mortgage, and you have assets, and you got all of that stuff. Why wouldn't you protect all of your hard work by going through the process and becoming a legal citizen?
And I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know, getting a mortgage isn't always easy either.
Right.
Like, so, you know, a lot of these things aren't. But
I know this for a fact.
You're working very hard and you did earn all these things and you did.
Right.
The one thing that's going to protect that is that one piece of paper. And you can get it.
It's the first step.
Yeah. So, but I can see the fear. I mean, I get it. But I would have to say that if you're not, you know, a member, you know, of gang, you might be okay for a while.
Have you ever heard the term fruits of the poisonous tree?
Yeah.
Okay. So if law enforcement's involved in an investigation and they obtain evidence illegally, it taints the whole case, right? So you have this person that comes into the country illegally. They're doing the right thing. They get a job. They're paying taxes. They're doing, you know, living that American dream, but they have not applied for citizenship. They have not gone through that process. To me, that all falls under fruits of the poisonous tree.
Yeah.
Everything you're doing from coming into this country illegally, it doesn't matter. I mean, and I know that's going to be an unpopular statement, and I get it. But in reality, you're here illegally. Everything you've obtained illegally because you're here illegally.
Right. So how do you rectify that?
I don't know if it can necessarily be rectified. It's going to be kind of the policies that that ICE and the immigration authorities take. If you look at the first term of President Trump, he did exactly what you were suggesting. He focused on people that were had criminal backgrounds or there were removal orders in place, you know, where there was an order just you need to be removed from the country, but nobody picked them up.
Right.
So those sorts of things have been the emphasis in the past, probably the emphasis or at least the priority in the future.
Incoming.
should I start over again on that?
No.
Okay.
We're good.
So that was the emphasis before, probably the emphasis now. It, strategically, from a kind of a court appeal point of view, I think he's only got 4 years. Cases can take a long time, right? So as a result, I think priorities for the administration on immigration would be in those categories.
Right.
And then maybe where it goes from there.
You know, because how long have we said we cannot continue just to let everybody in the board in, because the people who legitimately have reasons to seek asylum in the United States or wish to become a citizen of the United States are fleeing from something generally, and we're letting the people and issues in right behind them.
We're letting everybody.
Right. That they're fleeing from, that they're afraid of, that are abusing them, that are, like, they're not safe here either if we're just letting right. all of those people in.
But understand, this goes way beyond what you're talking about. We're letting in terrorists. We're letting in people right. that are setting up cells to attack us from the inside.
Right. I mean, this, it all has to be shut down.
It's huge. And,
right.
Yes. And that's where it starts. Close the door.
I wish that we had a process for people that, again, didn't take so long, wasn't so expensive, wasn't so difficult to do, so that the legitimately citizen-seeking immigrants could do all of the things that you're saying, Tom, that bought their houses, have assets, are living the American dream,
mm-hmm.
could have gone through and gotten that citizenship and didn't feel, because they aren't doing it, because they are overwhelmed by the process. I mean, you can't tell me that people are coming here and looking around and saying, I'm not going to become a citizen, but I'm going to do all of this. I just feel like the process has just been so overwhelming and inundating.
I think it's more that it's so easy not to do the process.
Well,
you could just walk across the border and do whatever you want.
Yeah, there haven't been a lot of consequences, right?
There's been none.
Right. Hey, Biden wanted to hire, what, 87,000 IRS agents or something? How about yeah. you hire 87,000 people to process these applications so the legitimate American citizen wannabes can get their stuff through and we can embrace them as citizens like they should have been? So, Tom, what are you telling these people? I mean, I guess it depends on their situation.
Yeah.
But how are you calming their fears, too? That's
Well, I'm just
question.
Saying that the categories are people with orders for removal and criminals would
right.
be the first ones to be worried about. But if people are being conservative about their assets, then I would say set up a trust, have it controlled by somebody who's a citizen that you trust, make sure things are in order. Make sure there's powers of attorney for your children if your children are going to stay with relatives, if they can do that. We don't
right.
know how that will shake out.
Right.
But if you're doing that, then have, you know, the uncle or the aunt have powers of attorney for health care and property to help with the children.
Right.
All those sorts of things. So that's – and we'll see how things go. It's going to be a very interesting time because – the process that exists is incredibly slow.
Yeah.
And people that are seeking asylum, slow for them, slow for everything. So what happened in the last Trump administration was the challenges that lawyers would make often forestalled any deportation.
Ah.
You know, and so, you know, that process is a cumbersome process. And when you talk about citizenship, like, I watched this show called Finding Your Roots. It's on PBS.
Uh-huh.
And the host of the show goes back in time and determines the family histories of people and
right.
how they came over and Ellis Island and all that stuff. Well, the process for, like, my great-grandmother was not much of a process.
No.
She just showed up with my great-grandfather at 18 and 16,
mm-hmm.
and next thing they knew, they were citizens, right?
Right.
They had to be sponsored.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my grandfather had the same thing. He came over in the 20s.
Right. I mean, this is just a huge indication of the issues with our government and how incredibly large portions of our government are that shouldn't be, and then parts
yeah.
of our government that should be expanded, and they're not, in order to, you know, again, it's also a humanitarian issue. Going back to your point, it's really hard. Because you're right. If you've been here for 12 years and you own your home and you have all of these things and you, why didn't you start the process at the
right.
very least?
Well, I think there's a level of fear too, right?
Exactly.
It's the administration, there's fear.
Because now you're in the system.
You're in this, yeah. And
yeah.
now you're saying, I've been here for 10 years, I'd like to be a citizen.
Of course.
And the question could be, what have you been doing for 10 years?
Right.
How did you get here?
Right.
Are you, you know? So I think that is one of the issues. I think you may see less people apply for citizenship.
Because they're afraid.
Unless there's some sort of safe harbor. That's what would
happen. That makes sense.
Right. I mean, that's fear. But it's complete fear.
And not being in their position and really kind of talking with no backing, no background at all, I would think the best thing to do is make the call and say, hey, I want to apply for citizenship. I've been here for a while. What do I need to do? Or how can I start this process?
I think you might
be surprised that they're going to help you out.
Well,
you know?
And I think that, like I said, the attitude in D.C. now might change the process because Trump has acknowledged that the process is horrible. I mean, if we can streamline that and fix it and have more attention paid to finding out the background and verifying the background of legitimate people, legitimate immigrants that have been here contributing to our society, who we love and we want to stay, we've got to get those people processed and we've got to get them citizenship and take them off the fear list. You just have to.
Right.
And so it'll be interesting to see if this administration makes a commitment to do that.
Yeah.
Because I think that that's kind of where he's going with it. But I also don't disagree with his putting the fear of God into people who absolutely need to go. And the criminals,
right,
the gang members. And unfortunately, the collateral damage is everybody's afraid. I just don't see them putting moms and kids and dads and families on buses and shipping them back and just making them leave everything that they've worked for without first trying to vet them and get them through the process. You think so? You think?
I think the courts between, I don't know what the administration's approach will be,
mm-hmm,
but there'll be some court intervention as well.
Sure.
Maybe there'll be changes in those procedures. Those fall under the administrative, mm-hmm, area. And government, because of the size, is very hard to maneuver, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And as a practical matter, a lot of presidents only have a 2-year time period to do it in.
Right.
Right? So when you're in the second of your terms, there are 2 years to really have action. You can accomplish some things, but it's harder those last 2 years.
Right.
So, and you know, you see, when we think about that administration, other things that I see happening is there's going to be some business incentives that are going to take place, and all the businessmen are going to be paying attention to that. And the business people will say, well, maybe we want to do more manufacturing if there's tax code encouragement.
Sure.
That occurred before under the Section 179 for early depreciation of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be, you know, there'll be industries that are concerned about how shifts may be. You know, you look at in the oil area.
Right.
You look at electric vehicles and things of that sort. Are the incentives going away? What kind of investment do we as a business have in electric vehicles? How do we protect that investment? You know, others would say, well, it wasn't fair to begin with because there were incentives given to the electric cars and not to the gas cars. But environmental concerns are going to raise to the top. You're going to have fights over drilling at different locations and federal protections and whether or not federal national monuments and stuff can allow for these things. It's going to be a wild time.
Right.
If these things are put forward, and there's every indication that the campaign promises are going to be put forward, from a lawyer's point of view, it's going to be fascinating.
I bet. We're talking with Tom Gardner. I am curious as to how the elimination of the DEI programs are going to end up in court.
Well, I don't know how that's going to work out. I would say if this was 10 years ago, then I think the track in court would be less certain. But I think given some of the U.S. Supreme Court's decisions, I'm not so sure that there won't ultimately be upholding of DEI initiatives changed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to see intermediate courts either stay them or challenge them. You're going to see arguments that are going to draw distinctions. So, for example, one of the first early cases was called Bakke. It was a student at one of the University of California schools who challenged some race-based preferences, I guess you would say, at a law school, I think.
Okay.
And at that time, the Supreme Court said, well, race can be one of the factors. But over time, that's really, that decision has kind of been lessened. And I think that because of the subsequent decisions, a plan that would just say this is one of the factors is probably more circumspect than it would have been at that time. Now, you're going to have distinctions between public institutions and private institutions.
Sure.
On DEI. So, and private companies versus public companies, and whether or not some of the anti-discrimination laws are going to apply to private versus public, there'll be all sorts of arguments in those areas.
Mm-hmm. There's some industries. I mean, could it shake down to certain industries to have different rules? Because there's some industries that you simply cannot be forced into some of those DEI policies. I don't care what color my surgeon is. I want him to be the best. Okay? I don't care. Right. Male, female, black, white, yellow, green, red, blue, purple. I don't care. I want him to be the best. There's some industries that you just cannot, you cannot force these people to make sure that the headcount is proper. They have to just be the best at their job. Now, generally, all employers want that, but there are certain industries that it is life or death that the best people be behind the wheel of the vehicle that is driven. And so, you know, is it possible you think it'll shake down to there's a different level between different industries?
Color shouldn't matter.
No.
Sex shouldn't matter. I need the best employee I can get.
Right.
And the unfortunate thing is for years we've had requirements
right
for different races.
Right. So, you know, and then when you put somebody in a job that they're not qualified to do, they know that. I don't
know.
Right. How do you think that that's going to shake out?
I'm not so sure that the DEI programs, I don't know how there'll be challenges relating to it, but you got to remember some of it kind of went the other way too, in that some of the employers wanted that because they wanted their workforce to be diverse because their customer base was diverse, right?
Well, yeah, but if they're an employer, don't they have that choice to enforce that in their own company privately?
Right.
Generally, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still can't be discrimination in
it, of course not.
Right? So you can have reverse discrimination as well that you have to worry about.
Absolutely.
And we're actually dealing with that issue in one of our cases right now. But, you know, it's a really complex issue. So some of the, like your concerns, Tom, they said, well, let's deal with things at the college level, right? So that people are, that minorities have an opportunity at college, so they're trained so that they can assume the job.
Sure.
But those preference type arrangements were challenged in the Supreme Court recently by some Asian students that applied, I think, at University of California schools there too. So I don't know how this shakes out. It's a really interesting area. There are lots of anti-discrimination laws. Section 1983, the Civil Rights Act, is the basis for lots of claims. They're real claims
sure.
that are brought. But it's been a complex issue since the country was formed.
Right.
You know, I think the problem has kind of morphed beyond just the race issue, right?
True.
If you look at Appalachia, right, you have some of the poorest people in the country in Appalachia, and their opportunities are limited as well.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is it's about communities, even regions, like you just said. I mean, this is not about
we've turned it into a race issue.
Well, we've turned it, yeah, and it's not.
It's an economic issue.
Right.
Well,
lots of places.
But we've turned it into a race issue also because there are programs out there for minorities to get into college, but there's not for white kids. You know, there's
from the same communities that are
suffering.
Yeah, there's
plenty of.
Right.
There have been challenges at the U.S. Supreme Court level relating to, for example, school funding.
Right.
Right. So the issue was, property taxes in a school district are funding the school.
Right.
Well, if you're in Appalachia and there's no value and nobody has any money, your school is not funded.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And that would go in the ghetto areas of big cities. And,
exactly.
And some rural areas where the rules has gone down. So that was a challenge. And that challenge lost. And that challenge was probably now 25 years ago. It was a Texas case. So so what you see is the affluent areas have tremendous assets.
Of course.
You know, Badger High School is spectacular.
Right, right.
You know, all the lake money flows to Badger.
Right.
And so they have every conceivable program, every AP class, even if there's six students in the class.
Right, right.
So all those benefits.
I mean, that's the thing, is it needs to start way before you start forcing employers to hire based on anything other than qualification, experience, and ability to do the job. It's like I say about kids, right? Little kids don't know that they can't do algebra until some tall person tells them that they can't, okay? And so if you, so these kids are, no matter where they're from, children are equally able to accomplish what they want to accomplish, no matter what they look like or how tall they are or anything, okay? And so if we just started earlier and propped these kids up and supported these communities, you know, the same thing goes for healthcare and pregnancy in young people. I've said that for so long. Why are we so worried about taking care of the problem after it becomes a problem? How come we're not taking all that money that we're dumping into whatever, Planned Parenthood or whatever, and start long before this situation arises so that the woman or the girl doesn't have to experience, you know, the physical and the mental and emotional pain of, you know, that situation. We you know, we could spend a lot of money and prevent. And well, so,
and Tom's seen this with the criminal situation, right? With gangs. Gangs are the best employment opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
In some places, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Good money, quick turnover.
And some of the leaders of gangs are some of the brightest people I've ever met.
Probably.
They're not dumb.
They're CEOs, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of these things that we are talking about should never end up in a court in the first place. These should be common sense things, right? And so that you don't have to go to court and fight for a very common sense right for someone. Maybe President Trump, I know he's, like you said, he's only got 4 years, but maybe some of these things can start on a different path as we move down these 4 years, because I don't know. I go back to the immigration thing. I understand why they're so scared, because now you go and you apply and you're in the system. Except that, I mean, people have apparently never heard of driver's licenses, so you're already in the system, but okay. I understand the fear, you know, and there's legitimate people, legitimate families that should be here that just didn't do it. And it's sad, but we got to find a better way to get them.
Unless you're 100% Native American, you're from an immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an issue with that. But our forefathers came here legally, as far as we know. And I just want to see that continue. Right? That's all I ask.
Yeah. I don't know. That's interesting, though, that people are calling because they're fearful. That never occurred to me.
Yeah, it didn't me either.
Right. Put them in a trust.
But you know what? I
got to
give
them
credit for being proactive. You know, the concern. No, seriously, the concerns on it. How do I fix this? How do I protect
true.
It? At least you're doing something.
Right. That's true. That's true.
And those, like you said, those are the people that we want to stay.
Yeah. I just don't know how some of these things aren't just complete common sense, and why are we even fighting about
it? Because the government's involved in it.
It's a resource allocation issue, too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but jillions of dollars to Ukraine could have gone to schools.
Oh, yeah. But all the money we've blown over the last
but what do I
four
know?
Years.
Yeah. So anyway, but that's why Tom's here, to litigate it into common sense.
I thought he was going to have to be the referee for a while.
He's going to have to be. Anyway, no, it's just interesting. So now you've given me a whole nother thing to think about and watch for as you're reading, because you're right. You got to read between the lines on some of these things, like you said, resource allocation and you know, asset protection and some things like that. You don't really think about it as it goes. There's so many aspects of the immigration issue. And,
so many different things that can be done, too.
True.
You know?
True.
Think about it. You arrest a drug dealer, and he's selling dope out of his house. what does the jurisdiction that arrests him do? They confiscate the property.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sell it and put that into their budget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a ton of things that can be done. What's right and what's wrong, that's, I guess, that's what we're going to find out.
Hmm. Interesting. Don't you love how our conversations never go on a sidewalk? They always run off into the yard.
It's way more fun in the yard.
Poor Tom.
You could trip on a sidewalk. They got cracks.
Mr. Gardner, how do we get in touch with you if we want to give you a call or somebody in your office?
I'm at 262-812-0864. Mm-hmm. Or my email is tgardner, that's T-G-A-R-D-I-N-E-R, at gkwwlaw.com. Or we're over at 500 Commercial Court over by Derek Funeral Home.
If you just Google GKWW Law, boom, pops right up.
And they're the place to go.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's so many aspects that you guys are you're experts in, and we appreciate you being in the community as well.
It's been great being in the community.
I know, you love it here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've lived here a long time, and mm-hmm. I've always been up here since I was born.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been great having this office and expanding the office. It's really been,
yeah.
We got great lawyers, and I mean that not just because they're good lawyers, they're good people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fortunate to have good people who are part of the office and part of the community.
No, it's awesome. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having
Pleasure.
Me.
Pleasure.
Coming up, we'll end the show. New segment.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I just about said to you a minute ago.
I got the look.
You got
it's your
the look.
Fault. You got me all wound up.
We'll be right back after this on Lake 96.1.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Stop it.
Whoa. Stop right there.
Stop! Stop it!
Just stop talking.
Welcome back to Life Matters. As you know, this is our soon-to-be world-famous news segment.
I'm kind of liking it.
Like, just stop.
Yeah.
Jeez, oh, just stop. But you said you have something for the segment to contribute.
Watching the news, there was a survey done with airline pilots, and it appears the pilots are rather offended. When the plane has a nice smooth landing and the passengers clap, they don't like that. They're offended by it. And if there's a rough landing and the passengers clap, they feel that's sarcastic, and they don't like it. So what they want you to do is remain seated, remain silent, have no emotions, and when you get off the plane, just simply say thank you. Just stop. Stop telling me how I'm supposed to react. Stop telling me what my emotions are supposed to be. And get off your high horse.
Just stop it. So I can't even, like, golf clap?
Well, according to the report, any kind of response to the landing is unacceptable.
Well, and when everybody stops doing that, they're going to come out and say, nobody appreciates us.
Exactly.
Everybody hates us.
Nobody says anything. They just say, thank you, when they get off the plane.
I was going to say something, and I shouldn't. Never mind. I don't want to bleep.
Maybe it was a good time. Good thing I was talking this time.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
They should have been on a plane leaving Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That probably would have offended them.
You know, one of the things, too, that... You know, we sort of talked with Tom Gardner about the immigration issue.
Mm-hmm.
And people, here again, if your instinct is that this new administration is going to come in and rip babies out of mom's hands and, you know, throw people in the back of a van blindfolded and drive them to the border and drop them off, please, that's not what's happening. Okay, just stop. Okay? He wants the gang members and the criminals and the repeat offenders out of here. Then we'll talk about how to fix the rest of the problem.
Work our way down.
Exactly. So just stop, all right? This is exactly what community would want these people in their city,
in their neighborhood.
Let the government do what they need to do to get the criminals out of here.
The gangs out mm-hmm. of here. Yes.
Then what I want to know is, where are the 300,000 children that Biden lost in this country?
What else?
Well, we got to find them because they're being trafficked. They're being all kinds of bad stuff. And so stop panicking. Just stop. Get the criminals out. Let's find the children.
Right.
That were just dropped off in this country that we don't exactly know where they are.
Just That's scary.
Stop. There's two bigger priorities than your normal, average, everyday working Joe, who, yes, is here illegally, but does qualify to be a citizen and join us in this great country.
Right.
So just stop. You just stop, too.
I'd say nothing.
I am going to get something to throw at you. No, I'm just kidding. It's a legit.
Yeah, but no more razor blades.
Listen. That what do you call those star things that you
the
throw
karate stars?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
there's all those holes in the wall behind me.
I don't have enough.
God, you got bad aim.
I'm not, I was going to say, I'm not good enough at it to
We're not
to
that
do
far
anything,
apart.
But
you could reach out and poke me in the eye with one of those.
We talked a little bit about the YMCA auction last week.
Mm-hmm.
Have you decided what you guys are going to be?
No, we've talked about some things, kicked a few things around. I think it'd be kind of cool if the radio station went as like the Hollywood Squares.
Here's the problem with that. Mike Mason and his wife, Kara, always come up with the most hilarious costumes, and they never tell us what they're going to do. They just show up. Yeah. Like, for instance, at the Halloween party at Magpies last year, they were married with children.
Ellen Peg Bundy?
Yes. And Kara, with the wig and a leopard skin top and the tight black and the red pumps and the red belt around it and the hair that stuck up like 5 feet from her head, spot on.
Yeah.
Mike wore a football jersey, had the football, you know, like he scored the one touchdown or
right.
whatever Al
five,
Bundy used
five
to stick.
Five touchdowns in one game.
Okay. And yeah, and so he had the football outfit. Everybody knew who they were. And they just always nail it. So we already lose them right off the bat. So now we're down to eight people. And I don't know.
One.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
What we're going to do.
We're kicking it around. I'm not sure yet.
That would be funny, though. One year, we're going to have to figure out how to go as a big group costume.
Yeah, it would be we have a blast anyways, but that would be that much more fun.
Yeah, it would be fun. But, I have no idea either. It doesn't really matter because I will likely show up covered in sawdust from sanding floors anyway.
Hey, we've got some work done.
Yeah, thank God for you and your wife.
Yeah,
holy
well,
crap, you saved our lives. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that, but.
No. Even Ty was like, oh my God, them showing up with that trailer saved our lives. I didn't realize how much stuff was going to pull out of that kitchen. But
there's a lot of kitchen in that kitchen.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was.
Uh-huh.
Now it's kind of a blank slate.
It is. I still haven't pulled out the ceiling yet because I was waiting for your trailer.
Well, we got to get to the.
That's later today.
Scrapper first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get the cab off, and then, we're coming.
Yeah. So we're going to get it all finished, but that's the story for right now is that I am constantly walking around covered in sawdust.
Yeah.
From sanding the floors. And I just have a tip. I know I shared this tip earlier today on the Design Coach with Philip Sassano. If you are in possession of a home with original wood floors, please, never put glue on a floor.
Never. Yeah, you guys are, that's a lot of work.
We pulled up those first three floors and it was great, right? Tack strip. Because, I can repair the little nail holes in the floor.
Oh, yeah. That's part of the process.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I can do that. But we are having to use heat guns.
Yeah.
And scrapers, 3-inch scrapers to scrape this glue.
Makes a
off
big room.
The floor.
Yep.
In these. And it's the room we're working on now. Another bedroom. A hallway.
Oh, they glued the hallway too?
Uh-huh. And I am fearful that they also did the stairs that way because it's the same carpet.
Yeah, more than likely.
And so it can be done.
It's just
and
a
if
lot
I
of work.
Paid somebody a jillion dollars, it would be done a lot quicker. But I have plans in the budget to use that money for, you know, cool things like a new kitchen and a new bathroom downstairs and a new bathroom upstairs.
Right.
And it's not something that has to be done tomorrow. So we are ticking away at it and we are working away at it. But it's just a shame because the floors are beautiful.
Yeah, they really
They're
are.
They're just beautiful.
Bird's eye maple. Yep.
And they have glue on them. The entire, like they took a paint roller and rolled it from every corner of these rooms, covered it with an eighth of an inch of glue, and then took a steamroller and rolled the carpet on. Not kidding.
How big a steamroller was it?
It was big.
The kind that they do the roads with?
Yeah. That's how much this stuff has adhered to the floor.
Yeah, I get it. But you know what you guys are doing? This is, in my opinion, the best way to do it because there's going to be so much pride. I mean, you have a lot of pride in the home already, obviously. But when you're done and you can say, yeah, we did that and we did that. I didn't have that done. I did that.
Right.
You know, just like the kitchen. It's going to be so cool.
I know.
When it's
I can't
done.
Wait. I can't. I'm still, it's. It's just a blank slate.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be cool. Yeah. Just designing it, figuring out. Amy, when we did the last house, well, even the first house, there was countless hours spent in design.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the floor plan of it. And then you got to start thinking about cabinets and pulls and, you know, all that stuff that I don't care about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hand towels.
That's right. How big's the door? Can I get the truck in? That's all I care about.
I know. Ty's got our nephews and his dad and a couple of brothers, I think, coming up to handle running electricity to the garage and putting a new garage door in and all that kind of stuff. Like, they're going to focus on Ty's apartment.
Garage should be first.
I'm just kidding. I'm all for that, actually, because, you know, we don't have a garage right now.
Right.
So him working on the truck, him working on motorcycles, him doing all that kind of stuff is very difficult.
Yeah.
And so I'm all for that. We need a garage.
Just secure storage.
He needs to be busy.
We all
out
need
of
to
my
be
house.
Busy. Well, when the floors are done.
When the floors are done.
You don't want to do that glue removal by yourself,
do
you?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, I signed on for heavy stuff, you know, ripping out ceilings and walls.
Yeah,
and
you signed on for demo.
And I got to tell you. And I've been meaning to say this for a while, but you helping us or us working together in the kitchen, tearing it apart, so many funny things I saw. Nancy hanging on a cabinet door, running in place trying to rip the door off. It won't come off.
But then Amy walking up behind me and going, brim, rip.
Well.
And you.
Amy's a beast.
She is a beast, thanks to the Y.
Nancy had all 15 pounds of her hanging on that door.
I did.
Door's going, really?
I know. And it's like 80 years old, and it still didn't come down. So yeah.
Oh, we had a lot of fun in there.
Oh, brother. Yeah, and then Ty, nope, don't take that fake wall down. And Ty walks away, and we're like,
take it.
Down it comes.
Well, you serious about that?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know why we ask him. Yeah, it's coming along. It's coming along, and I'm thrilled right now. I go downstairs and hug the furnace every day because it's hanging in there because it's old and it's got to be replaced, but we're not quite there yet.
Well,
and
you
so,
can't beat oil heat. You really can't. It's
working.
The hottest.
It's definitely working.
Yep.
It also covers everything in black soot.
We need to figure out a way, number one, to get your hot water heater out of there, but a way to keep that because I have never seen a hot water heater that big.
I know.
You could park a small car in that thing.
Uh-huh.
It could
and
be like
furnace.
A portable garage.
Like one of the barrels at Magpies.
Yes.
Take
oh,
it over
yeah.
there. Anthony can put people in there.
There you
to
go.
Eat. Yeah, no.
Can have cocktails in it. That thing is huge.
It is huge. Well, everything is huge because that's the way they built it back in the whatever.
Yeah,
well,
I thought it was a boiler at
installed.
First.
Yeah, it looks like
it's
a boiler.
A weird looking boiler.
Thanks to Tom Gardner for coming in and joining us on our curvy path through the topics at hand. We never.
Curvy at best.
He always just kind of sits back and looks at us like, okay, what's next?
Yeah. Why am I coming in here?
I know.
These two are crazy.
But he loves it because he also says, oh, calm down.
I think he gets it started and then sits back and admires what he did.
He likes it. Anyway, we will be back same time, same place next week right here on Lake 96.1. Coming up, more music.